place, you want to know if there are strings attached. Standing here, I've never felt so wired in my life. Truth be told, there are no strings attached coming to this wonderful kehillah. There's a maisa that's told over about a doctor who used natural medicine, herbs, plants, different cures to help people who aren't well. And the doctor was traveling to a large city, and at the large city, he was going to stay a few days to help hundreds of people who weren't well. Traveling by horse and buggy during the night, all of a sudden he's accosted by a band of robbers, and they figure that in the suitcase that he's carrying must be loads of diamonds and money, and they come to rob him blind. The head robber comes, rips it out of his hand. They run back to their hiding place. They open up the suitcase, the valise, and they see, much to their disappointment, medicine, herbs, pills, grass, plants, no money. In disgust and disappointment, they take all of the medicines, they throw it into a raging river, and they go home very dejected. So the doctor says, all right, Baruch Hashem, I'm still alive. At least I'll go to the city. And although I can't give out medicine, I'll give advice, set up appointments for a later date. Epis vos. So he goes to the big city, and there are mamish lines of people waiting to see him. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the lines, a man comes running in hysterically, I must see the doctor before anyone else, bikuach nefesh. So he comes running in, he says to the doctor, doctor, this is what my daughter is sick with, I think she's going to die, and he tells the doctor the exact sickness. And the doctor nods his head, yes, in understanding. And then he says, yeah, I've treated it hundreds of times. Wonderful, tell me what to do. I'm sorry, I can't. What do you mean you can't? I don't have my medicines with me. What kind of foolish doctor are you? You don't have your medicines with you? Well, I had my medicines with me, but on the way here, a group of robbers with the head robber went ahead and took my medicines and threw it into a river, and now I'm left empty-handed. When the fellow heard that, he fell into a dead faint. When he came to, the doctor said, what happened? And he told the doctor, I'm the head robber. I'm the one who threw the medicine away. And now there's no help for my daughter. The truth is, ladies, the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us the cure. He sends us the Rabbonim, he sends us the Svarim, he sends us his messages. 9/11 was such a horrific wake-up call. But unfortunately, too often we take the cures, we take the medicines, we take the remedy, and we throw them away. So Ribbono Shel Olam, how do we want to become better? How do we want to have Shefa Brachos if we take the medicines and the Brachos and the Tfilos and the guide that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us and we throw them away? Tishu B'Av is the day to realize that we have to take all of the messengers, all of the advice and everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to offer. Don't just learn from it. Become a better person as a result of it. And in that merit, we'll have the cure, we'll have the remedy, we'll have Shefa Brachos. So what do I think might be the number one cure, the ultimate remedy that the Ribbono Shel Olam is putting in the medicine, in the herbs, in the pills, in the plants, in the antibiotics, time and time again? And he says, just learn the message. There is a Gemara that tells us that Ashkechei Shmuel Rebbe Yehuda, Shmuel chanced upon Rebbe Yehuda, De toli be'ibra de dasha. And Rabbi Yehuda was leaning against the doorpost. He was leaning by the door. V'kabachi. And he was crying bitterly. So Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, why are you crying? So Rabbi Yehuda, without going into the Gemara in detail, said, I'm crying because of so many gedolim. He quotes too specifically that were such monumental gedolim, they were able to translate something 300 different ways. And the Gemara says about those two, Ein lahem chelek olam haba, vikendo zayin. How could it be two people who are on the highest of the high stooped to the lowest of the low? How is it possible? Person after person he was sobbing about, leaning against the doorpost of Yehuda, could not be controlled. All the gedolim that have been lost in the times of the Gemara, as a result, Ein lahem chelek olam haba, they're no longer what they used to be. How could it be? So the Gemara says an expression, Tina Hoysa Belibam. There was something apparently wrong in the heart. There was Tina Belev. What do I think the Gemara actually means? There's another Gemara in Shabbos, Av Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, that poses the following question. Suppose you have a person who has a life filled with Torah, but absolutely their bank account is empty and negative when it comes to Yiras Hashem. What is that person compared to? Zok de Gemara, somebody who has Torah, but Ein Lahem Yiras Shamayim, he has no fear of the Ribono Shel Olam, is like someone that the Les Le Darta, the Tara Le Darta Ovid. They have no place to call home. They sleep on a park bench. But do you know what they spend their lives doing? Building a front door. Imagine a homeless person working on a front door. The trimmings, the carvings, all the magnificent handle and the wood and the rosewood, and everything should be magnificent and palatial for a beautiful binyan. But you don't have a house. You have nowhere to put it. Working on a door and not having a home is exactly what you're like when you preach Torah, but you don't have the Yiras Shamayim to back it up. When you have Torah, you only have the door. When you have Yira, then you have the entire home. It could be, I heard from the Jibodayan in Montreal, he says that's what Yaakov Avinu meant. If Torah is the door, but Yira gives you the whole kit and caboodle, the whole house. Yaakov went to sleep and he woke up in the Makom HaMikdash, the holiest of the holy. What words did he say? And I quote, he wakes up and he says, Manora HaMakom HaZeh, how awesome is this place I've slept in. Ein Zeh Ki Im Beis Elokim, V'Zeh Shar HaShemayim. You know what the Jibodayan said Yaakov means? Until now I learned in Shem V'Ever. So what did I have? I had an infusion of Torah. I learned Torah, and Mer Torah. But now I'm in a place of Manoira. Noira is from the word Yira. Now I not only have the Torah that I had till now, but I have the Yira. That's what he says. When you have the Yira together with the Torah, what do you have? The whole house. That's what he says. Ki imze beis elokim. Now I'm in the bias. But vizeh, that which I had till now, shar hashamayim, was only the gate. It was only the door. Because the Torah is only the shar. It's only the hallway, the entrance. But zeh beis elokim, this is the entire house. It could be that the only way to rebuild our Beis Elokim, isn't that what we're here for? What have we spent this whole Tisha B'Av doing? We're going to shir after shir after shir, davening, sitting on the floor, because we want to build a Beis Elokim. It seems like the only way to successfully build the Ein Zeh Ki'im Beis Elokim is not with the shar, not with the entrance and the doorway. That's nice for step number one, the Torah. It has to be coupled with Yira, fear of Hashem, honor of Hashem, being cognizant, Ein lanu mi lismoich el avinu shebashamayim. Ladies, do we know what that means? Right after one of the bombings, one of the massacres, I believe it was in Beis Yisrael, they hung up that sign. Do you know how much koyach you have to have after a suicide bombing of so many young people dying, hanging up a sign? We still realize there's no one to whom we can turn, Elo avinu shebashamayim. That's it. That's the beginning, middle, and end of it all. We only have the Ribbono Shel Olam. Having the Torah without the year is not enough. It's not going to get us the Beis Elokim. You want the bias? You want it badly enough? We need the Yira with the Torah. We need the honor of Hashem, the fear of Hashem, being cognizant we can't do a thing or make a move without the Ribbono Shel Olam. It could be that's the pshat in the Gemara. We just said that when Shmuel approached Reb Yehuda was crying. Where did I tell you he was leaning when he was crying? On the doorpost. What difference does it make where he was crying? It could be Reb Yehuda was leaning on the sha'ar, the doorpost, to say, do you know why I'm crying? Because all they have is the door. How could Gedolei Olam in the times of the Gemara end up Ein Lahem Chelek B'Olam Haba with no portion in the world to come? Because of the doorpost, because of the lesson of the shar, because I'm crying by the door, because that's all they had. That's what it means, tino hoisa belibam. If one walks around with Torah without Yiras Shamayim, we cry by the door. Because that's the chisaron, that's the disease. only having the door, and that's why he specifically cried at the doorpost. The lecture for this afternoon's talk was the beginning of wisdom. And I told him from America I want it to be given specifically to women. Not so much because the women need it, but because it's only the women who will change the rest of their mishpachos. And I'm not telling you that to make you feel good. I'm telling you that because it's emes. If you feel good, adarab, it's also good. But I'm telling it to you because it's emes. Why the beginning of wisdom? Reishis chachma. What is the beginning of wisdom? Yiras Hashem. And do you know what it says in Nach Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa? The chochma of the woman builds the bias. What bias am I talking about? The bias that we've spoken about, the bias of Yira, the bias of honoring Hashem, the bias of teaching your husbands, your children, Ein lanu al mi lismoch Ella HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. I think that's what Nach means. Chochmas Noshim. The wisdom of the women here and the world over. Bunsa Besa doesn't superficially only mean that it's nice, you need them in the home to keep the home together. Bunsa Besa, you people don't just build the shahr, the door, the Torah. You're solely responsible for the bias. And as a result of you taking care of your bias, you'll bring about the Beis Elokim. And that's why it has to be told to the women. Not because you need to hear it, but because it's only you who have the ability to change. More so than a man. More so than a child. Than anyone. Chochmas Noshim is the only one who can be Bunsa Besa. How crucial is it that our children learn this lesson? That Gemara that I quoted to you a little bit earlier, with Shmuel approaching Rabbi Yehuda by a doorpost, the next Gemara is terribly depressing. There was someone who was named Acher. We've heard of Acher. Acher is the ultimate apikores. Until today, when we talk about blasphemy, someone denying God, the ultimate is Acher. How in the world did Acher go from who he was to who he subsequently became? I want to quote one line of Gemara. The Gemara says, how did it happen to Acher? Because Bishah Shehel Ya'oi made me base HaMedresh. When he got up from the base Medresh, he was learning with his friend, his Chavrusa, Harbe Sifrei Minim Noshrim Mecheko. Many books of Minus, books of Apikores, fell out of his Kapota. And since he learnt the books of Apikores, seemingly the Gemara is saying, he became the ultimate Acher, the Apikores. That's how he was known. Because Harbe Sifrei Minim Noshrim Mecheko, these books fell to the floor. We must raise a few questions on this one perplexing line of the Gemara. Number one, what do you mean Harbe Sifrei Minim? Many. I mean, even if a person wears an oversized kapota, he wears an oversized double-breasted jacket. How many svarim are you going to fit in without looking obvious? 2, 3, 5? Harbe, as if he came in with a dozen. Many, many Sifrei Minim. I mean, how did he go in unnoticed? He can't possibly have stuck them all under his kapot. That's not possible. So what does it mean, Harbe Sifrei Minim? And secondly, it says, Amru Alav Al Acher. It was said about Acher. Whenever you use the expression that it's said about a person, it means it's something that he's done time and time again. One time you do something, an isolated event, does not warrant Amru Alav, it's said about you. When you do something habitually, it's said about you. I don't say how many times did he do this? Once he went ahead and did it, like if you realize the embarrassment that the Sforum fell out, then why not stay at home? If you want to read the Sifrei Minim and you love the books of Apikorsa so much, do it at home. What does your Chavrusa need to hear? So what does it mean he did it again and again and again? He didn't learn? From the first time that he turned red in his face, that he was embarrassed. So stay at home. You have a Sifriya library at home. Learn your Sifrei Minos there. And also, why did it fall out of his kapota when he got up? I mean, why wasn't it a problem when he walked into the Beis Medrash? Then the pockets were secure and only when he got up they fell out? I believe one answer will explain all three shilas. Torah has the uniqueness of being called Sam. You know, when the Torah is lifted, we pick up our pinky in some places and we say, Hagba v'zos haTorah sher sam Moshe. The Gemara in Yuma says, don't read it sam, read it with a samach, sam. Sam is a potion. Torah has the uniqueness, it's the only mitzvah in the world, It's either Sam Chaim or Sam Misa. It will either keep you alive or kill you like that. How do you understand that? I mean, other mitzvos, you keep the mitzvah of tefillin correctly, you got the mitzvah. If not, you're not dead. You just didn't get the mitzvah of tefillin. Why does Torah have the distinct uniqueness that it's either Sam Chaim or Sam Misa? Maybe the pshat is as follows. Torah is always compared to what? Mayim, water. If I plant seeds of apple in the ground and water them, am I going to grow banana? If I plant banana and I water them, I'm going to grow a watermelon or a cucumber? I'm only going to grow and nurture and water that which I planted. Apples will get me apples. Bananas will get me bananas. A body has to have the seeds of Yirat Shamayim. If you water a body of Torah, and that kli, that body of Torah, does not have Yirat Shamayim, you're watering Misa. What's Torah going into? It's going into a body without Yira. It's going into a body that has no fear, not being cognizant that God runs the world. That's what it means. Torah in such an empty, deplete body can be Sam Misa. It can be a devastating, tragic combination. But only when you plant the seeds of Yira. And again I say, no one can plant those seeds in their families like you can. I mean that me'unta delibi. It's your achrayus. You're walking out of here with a much greater responsibility than you came in. It's your obligation. But I'm confident everyone, each and every one of you can do it. When you water and plant and nurture in your families, your children and your spouses, the seeds of Yira, the seeds of the Ribono Shel Olam, then that Torah is going to be Chaim. It will be eternity and Nitzchius. It will keep you alive forever. Now let's revisit Acher. Acher had Torah, but he didn't have any Yirat Shamayim. Do you know what I think the Gemara means? Something fascinating. We asked, why did Acher walk in with Sifrei Min and books of Apikarsis? Keep it home. And how'd you get in with 15 books, by the way, past the guard? And more than that, why do you do it time and time again? You know what I think the Gemara means? A nechtigetog. Acher never walked in with a single sefer of Minos. Never. What do you mean? It said it fell out of his lap. Acher sat down and learned Chumash. He learned Navi. He learned Gemara. He learned Sifri and Yankiv and Sifra. But when you learn, but you haven't watered your body with the seeds of Yira, what are you creating? Misa. Acher turned the Torah into Sifrei Minos. The Zelba Rajba can keep you alive with Yira. But without Yira, it can be, God forbid, Sifrei Minos. So we asked, why did he do it time and time again, stay home? He never brought them. How did he get them under his kapata? He never had them. But every time he got up with his chavrusa and learned, when his chavrusa walked away with a gemara, and a navi, and a sifri, and beautiful halacha, harbe sifrei minim no shemei cheiko. It meant nothing to Acher. That rajba, that sifri, that chumish, was all sifrei minus. Why? Because he had not previously watered his guf and his family with reishis chochma yiras Hashem. It all begins with the wisdom. And if God forbid we don't have the yira inculcated into our beings, everything can become a misa, or God forbid an acher of a sifrei minus. It's extremely appropriate that we speak about yira today in the very beginning of Orach Chaim. Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim Siman Aleph Siv Gimel. I just heard it this Shabbos in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu. Listen to what Shulchan Aruch says. Ro'oi lechol yorei shamayim. It's appropriate for every God-fearing person, sheyehei meitzar v'doeg, that you worry and are pained al churban Beis Hamikdash, about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. What do you think the Kotzker Rebbe asks? Ro'i lechol yorei shamayim? The only one who has to be meitzar and doeg, the only one who has to be uncomfortable and pained, the only one who has to care about the churban Beis Hamikdash is a yorei shamayim? And a person who's not a yorei shamayim doesn't have to be meitzar and doeg about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash? Zok de Kotzker Rebbe. Only a yorei shamayim worries about the churban habayis. Because if you're not a Yorei Shamayim, you have a much bigger Chorban to worry about. Your Chorban HaGuf. And if a person is not a God-fearing Jew, before you get to step two of coming to a Tishu B'Av and worrying about Yirat Shamayim, first worry about the Churban that's in you. Cry about the fact that it may be a Sam Hamis instead of Sam Achayim. And then when you have Yirat Shamayim, then you can come together on a Tishu B'Av and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm really Meitzar Udayeh. I'm crying about the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, you're crying? You have Yira? I'll give you the Beis HaMikdash because you have not just the Shar, but the Beis Elokim. There's a Maisa that happened about 20 years ago. There was a family in Eretz Yisrael who, unfortunately, the husband made no parnasa. He mamish couldn't put together a dime. He travels to the Golden of Medina, America, and he figures, there I'm going to be successful. He was a painter by profession. He figured there's some buildings, complexes, I'll try there. He came around the summertime, no job being offered. Then he picks up the paper, the classified one day, and he sees that there was a fellow who had a number of condominiums he needed painted. He was offering 100 painters to come and try out. The one of the 100 who was the best would not only get the job to do all the apartments, but to boot, he would get a $25,000 bonus 20 years ago, just for getting the job. Everybody responded. This person naturally said, I'm as good as anybody, I'll try. The only thing is that the appointment to try was during the 9 days. Of course, we know you don't shave. So he had somewhat of the beard growth, but he didn't look clean. He didn't look well put together, well groomed. So he travels to 455 FDR Drive, and he asked the Gadol Hador, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha, I have an upcoming appointment, and I really need to shave to make an impression and to get the job. Are you giving me a heter? And Reb Moshe answers, Bitzori Harav, it pains me deeply, but I can't let you shave. You can't do it. All right, he accepts the psak. But as he's driving home, and he finally gets to the house, you know, we all have that Yetzirah within each and every one of us. So he starts giving in to the Yetzer Hara, and he says, you know what, even with the psak, I have to shave. And he shaves. And he goes to the appointment clean shaven. And sure enough, out of 100 painters, he gets the job. The fellow is elated. The one who's about to hire him is even more excited. Right away, he writes out the $25,000 check, obviously to a religious Jew, because the painter's wearing a yarmulke. He gives him the check, and he says, I'll see you tomorrow. As the guy's on the way out of the door, the boss says, just 1 second, can I ask you a quick question? The painter turns around, and he says, yes. Holding the check in his hand. He said, let me ask you a question. Some of the apartment buildings that I share in ownership with someone else, he's also a religious Jew just like you, because I know he wears that thing on his head like you have. But I noticed the last couple of weeks he hasn't been clean shaven, and I asked him why not. So he answered me because he's in mourning. I said, mourning? A parent died? No, we lost our temple almost 2,000 years ago, and I'm crying over it, and we're not allowed to shave. I was so impressed by that answer, but now I'm looking at you. I was wondering, what's with you? So the fellow starts not to break his teeth, but shatter his teeth. All excuses in the world. You know, there's an Erev, and it's cold, and Batel B'Shishim, and I'll answer him in Yiddish. And he's always coming up with all terutz. And everybody thinks that Batel B'Shishim is the answer to everything. So he's coming up with all the excuses. Well, it's only a minhag, you don't really have to, and not everyone does. Yeah. The boss, Mamar, starts to cry. And he takes back the check from the painter, and he says, I'm so sorry, but if you cannot be trusted with your own religion, how can I trust you with my buildings? The Ribbono Shel Olam wants one thing from us. He's asking us, be trustworthy. He gave us Yahadus. He gave us a religion where the very basis, the bias, is Yira. Honor him, respect him, realize who he is. We must take him seriously. You have to walk out of this Tishu B'Av saying, he can trust me with his religion. I'm trustworthy. It's interesting to note, there is a pasuk at the end of Eishes Chayil, Sheker Hachein, Vehevel HaYoyfi, Isha Yiras Hashem, Hitisalo. Does anything bother you with that first half of the pasuk? Sheker Hachein, Vehevel HaYoyfi, beauty is false, charm is vain, nothing is good. But during the years of the Torah, don't we always praise women and even men for being so beautiful? Some of our imahos, how their beauty, Esther Hamalka, Shaul Hamelech, we're always talking about the chein and the yofi that they possess. So what right do we have to say in Eishes Chayil, Sheker Achein VeHelel HaYofi? You're always putting up people on a pedestal who are beautiful physically. Says the Vilna Gaon, you're not reading that pasuk correctly. Sheker Achein VeHelel HaYofi. Charm is false and beauty is vain if that's all you have. But Isha, a woman, Yiras Hashem, that fears God, He tis halal, then you can praise those beautiful attributes of chen and yofi. Chen and yofi are sheker and mean nothing if they're missing the yira. But isha yiras Hashem, when a woman possesses the bias, and I think isha yiras Hashem not only means that she has yiras Hashem, but she teaches her mishpacha what it means yiras Hashem. Your families have to become trusted with this religion. When you have yiras Hashem, he tis halal. Then you have every right to praise and put on a pedestal the chen and the yofi, the beauty and the charm. But only if you have the yira. There's a very perplexing gemara. The gemara says in Brachos that every morning HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up, metaphorically speaking. And he comes to a community, and if he comes to the shul and he sees lo matza ba asara, that 10 Jews are not ready to daven, Miyad hu koes. Right away he becomes irate and furious. You couldn't get a minion for me? I'm in shul before 10 Jews? And God says in a pasuk, Madua bossi. Why did I bother coming? The ain ish. The ain ish. No one's here. I believe the Chassam Sofer, Zechus Yogan Aleinu, asks a question. What do you mean no one's here? All it said is that there was not 10. There wasn't a minion. There may have been 6. There may have been 8 or 9. Right? You know the famous, everybody's a tenta. Right? You always have the person in the old shtut who is standing outside wanting to get. He stands on the side of the street. A tenta, a tenta. So he figures, okay, there are 9 inside. I'm number 10. He walks in. There are only 2 people there. But that's the way of getting people. Everybody's a tenta. Everybody's a tenth man. How could Hashem say the ain ish? No one's here. Yeah, people are here. There's only 8 Jews. There's not a minion. But what do you mean ain ish? No one's here. You know what he means? There may be 9 people, but ain ish. There's not that one person in the community who brings everyone together. There's not that one person in the family who can mesh the entire mishpacha together. The ish is missing. That one person that you cannot, can unite the family. The one person who could unite a community. Yes, there may be 9 Jews. But if I get up in the morning, says God, and I see you don't care enough about davening, you don't care enough about fearing me, calling out to me, you don't think I can do it, then ain ish. Then there aren't people who care. The Musar Svarim say there are 3 things God wants to see. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Simchas Hashem. Love God, fear God, and rejoice with God. Basically, that means, do you have love? So what do you have more love from? The beautiful steak dinner you're about to eat? Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You have to channel your Ava, Avas Hashem. You have fear. But do you have more fear of taxes? April 15th? I'm not sure what it is here in South Africa. By us, it's April 15th. Or do you have more fear of the Ribono Shel Olam? Simcha, what do you have joy out of? The bathroom chandelier? The 3rd car? Or Hashem. He wants one thing. Ava to Hashem. Yira to Hashem. And Simcha to Hashem. Mayrai v'rabaisai. What is the 1st letter of each of those 3 words? Ahava, Yira, and Simcha. Aleph, Yud, and Shin. Ish. If he comes to a community and he sees people don't care and they're lazy, he says, why did I show up? Ein ish. There's no ahava, there's no yira, and there's no simcha. They just don't care enough about me. And there's no one who can better bring about that ish than the people we are talking to in this room. It's very interesting, I just heard this Shabbos. There's a Mishnah Psachim, Perakei Mishnah Zion, that speaks about the bringing of the Korban Pesach. Basically, without going into too much detail, it was brought in 3 shifts. If you came early, middle, late, the Levim had an interesting custom. While the Korban Pesach was being brought, they sang Hallel. Now what happened if they finished singing Hallel and the 1st group still didn't finish sacrificing their Korban? Say Hallel again. And what happened if you finish Hallel a second time, you Levium, and the people still didn't finish the sacrifices? Say Hallel a third time. They said Hallel until each group finished the Korban. Group number one came, the Levium sang their Hallel. They left. Group number two came, the Levium sang their Hallel. Group number three came, the Levium sang the Hallel. Fascinating, I quote the Mishnah. Never was there a time, by Kat Hashlishis, the third group, the one who came in the afternoon, that whenever the Levium sang Hallel, they never made it to the paragraph in Hallel known as Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem. You know, it's the one that we insert when we say whole Hallel. Ahavti. Never did they get that far before the third group had finished. Meaning, the third group came, finished all the Korban Pesach, and they had not yet finished their Hallel, even the first time. They never got to Ahavti Ki Yishma. You know what the Mishnah is really telling us? How could it be? You know how long the two Batei HaMikdash were together? 830 years, 410 and 420. In 830 years, never, ever, ever did the third group bring Karbanos long enough that the Levium got past the paragraph known as a Hafti. I mean, what, never to Hallelu, to some other part, to the Hodu, never anywhere else? You know what the Mishnah means? Korban Pesach is only one of only two mitzvahs are saved in the Torah. That if you don't do it, there's kores. It's one of the most special mitzvahs I say in the Torah. Don't you think if you're entrusted with a mitzvah I say, you should get out of bed at the crack of dawn at 5 a.m. to do it? And if you have to sleep late, do it at 6. What business do you have bringing your Korban Pesach in the Kat Hashlishis, 5 in the afternoon after work? After picking up some donuts and coffee, let me also pick up and do the Kat Hashlishis. What right does a person have to do that? That's what the Mishnah means. If the Kat Hashlishis did not care enough about a unique mitzvah saseh, lo higia l'ahavti ki yishma Hashem, they've never attained the level of loving God Almighty. That's what it means. Not the Levium never got to ahavti. The Levium may have gotten anywhere. But if you are in the Kat Hashlishis, you don't care enough. You don't have that yira. Then you've never reached the madregan level of ahavti ki yishma Hashem. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to show the Ribbono Shel Olam. We want him to come back every morning. We want him to come down. Show him we're ready. Are we ready? If Mashiach came now, are we ready? The joke is always, oh, we come to wait. The supper's still cooking. We didn't finish packing. We have to Windex the windows. Are you ready? Have we reached the level of a Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem? There's only one reason that we were taken out of Mitzrayim. Bishchus Yu Nashim Tzidkaniyos. As the Medrash tells us, in the merit of the women, we were taken out. And you know who we're going to be redeemed by? The merit of the women. Only the Nashim Tzidkaniyos can do it. It says that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim because the women inculcated into the families three things. They never changed Shemam. They kept the Yiddish names. They never changed Lashonam, the nice way of speaking, never Nivalpeh. And they never changed Levusham, the tzniustic way of dressing. Shemam, Lishonam, Levusham. The names, the appropriate way of speech, and tznius. They never changed. And in the merit that they never changed those three things, we were redeemed. And in the merit of you, once again not changing those three things, we will again be redeemed. And do you know how appreciative the rest of the world is? What do we say to you in Eishes Chayil? Bata ba leiv bala, v'sholo lo yechsar. Bata ba leiv bala, you know why you have the trust of God? Why you have the trust of your Baal? Why you have the trust of your children? Why? Because Sholol. How do you spell Sholol? Shin, Lamed, Lamed. Shemam, Lishonam, Levusham, Lo Yechsar. It's never been missing. You've never diminished in iota. But you have maintained those Torah values of Sholol, Shemam, Lishonam, Levusham. You indeed have been trustworthy with the religion. And as a result, you have earned the respect of your spouses, your children, and most importantly, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in the merit of Batach Balei Bala, that we trust, the ultimate Baal will come down, and once again, Bishchus Noshim Nigalu will be redeemed. But I do think that there's one element, before we get to the closing part of the shir, I think there's one element that is the most important about this year, about this bias. There's a very sad Gemara. It's actually the last Gemara in Masechta Sukkah. Very sad. The Gemara says about a woman named Miriam Bas Bilga. We've heard of her. Miriam Bas Bilga, the Gemara says, was literally from one of the most prestigious princely families in Klal Yisrael. It was during the times of the Yevonim and Chanukah. She went ahead and she married one of the heads of the Yevonim. She gave up her entire religion. A terrible embarrassment to the family. She mamish did terrible things. And then on one fateful day, Miriam Bas Bilga enters the Beis HaMikdash and she takes with her sandals. She enters the Heichal and with her sandals, she starts kicking on Gabei HaMizbeach. She starts kicking the Mizbeach. And in defiance, she calls out, Locus, Locus, a fox. Ad Mosai Ato Mechala Mimonan Shal Yisrael. How much longer are you going to keep consuming the money of the Jews? Meaning a fox eats animals. What do you do on a Mizbeach? You burn karbonos, you eat animals. So in a very degrading, derogatory, disdainful fashion, she said to the Mizbeach, for how long are you going to keep eating the Jews' money? And then she says, V'i'ata oimer aleihem b'shas hadchak. And you do not stand there, i'ata oimer aleihem, you're not there for them when they need you most. Look what's happening to your Jews now. The Yevonim want to lahashmi laharog, the Yevonim mamish want to, excuse me, upashtu yudeim b'mamonam. The Yevonim want to destroy the Jews. Where are you for them? So there is a question that begs to be asked. I'm not at all justifying what Miriam Bas Bilga did. While what she did was terribly disdainful, terribly disgraceful, to enter the Heichal, kick the Mizbeach, jump on it, and speak and kick it, there's no excuse. However, look beyond that. Look at what she said. Forget how she said it for a moment. At the end, she says, where are you? You don't stand up for them when they need you. Can't we give her credit for that? Maybe that came from the depths of her heart. She said to the Mizbeach, why did you abandon them? Maybe the Pintel Yid, the spark of every Jew that never abandons you, was calling out and saying, even though the way she said it was wrong, but maybe the feeling and what she said, she genuinely meant, where are you? Why aren't you helping them? Can't we give her any credit for that? You know what the pshat is? Who is she speaking to? She was talking to the Mizbeach. And referring to the Mizbeach, what did she say? Where are you? Why can't you help them? Who's the you? Who is the only being in the world that can save Klal Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eilonu al milismeich elo avinu shebashamayim. Everything else is just a messenger. The Mizbeach doesn't save. The Mizbeach can't heal. The Mizbeach is not Hashem. The fault in what she said was, she pointed to the Mizbeach and she said, I'ata yochol. You're not there for them. What do you mean you? Shilamaos mi mamakim esoinai elaharim. It's only the Ribono Shel Olam. Without the Ribono Shel Olam, we can't exist. And that's why she was punished. Because not only was it terrible how she said it, but it was terrible what she said. Never forget when we walk out of here, the only one who could be matzilos from the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. And yes, something else tragic happened last night. The only one, I believe in Tel Aviv, two bombings. We become so raw to these emotions. Now if there's a day that goes by that there's no bombing, that's the chiddush. Oh, you heard today there was no bombing. What oilam hepechu, it's crazy what's going on. But it can only change when we point to the Ribono Shel Olam and say, Baruch Atah, you! And not point to other things and say, the army can save us, the person can save us, I can rely on this one. You have no one to rely on. You want to know how valuable that lesson is? She was punished, and so was her family. Why was her family punished? Because it says, Shusa b'yanuka d'shuka o devua o de'ime. The way a child speaks in the marketplace they got from father and mother. Right? That's why you always have to be so careful. Especially now that we, Baruch Hashem, have small children at home. Right? You don't want that the next day the first grade teacher should call and say, oh, I hear gevaldic things going on, right? Because shusa d'yanuka b'shuka o devua o de'ime. A child repeats what they hear in the parents' home. And that's why the Gemara says you have to be so careful. If she spoke that way when she pointed to the Mizbeach and she didn't know that the faith comes from God Almighty, it must be her parents' fault. It must be her parents never sat her down at the dinner table and said, Miriam, dear, Tyre and Miriam, I want you to know something. The only one who could save us from the Yavanim is Hashem. Constantly say, Ein Od Milvado. Do you know how often that pasuk was taken in Nazi Germany? Ein Od Milvado. People used to carry that in their jacket pocket. And there are miraculous stories of how they got by the Nazis, the barbarians, because they always said and they thought, Ein Od Milvado. There isn't anyone else. And if Miriam, dear Miriam, didn't know it, then it's the fault of the parents. And that's why we have to leave today remembering Ish. Our children will have Av, a year, and Simcha only if we teach it to them. There was a mice, I believe, the Mezritch Magid once went to visit someone, another famous Gadol, and he came back, and one of his Hasidim said to him, so tell me, Mezritch Magid, what'd you get out of that fantastic visit during Yontif? So he said, the most unbelievable thing was about the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ein Od Milvado, there's no one else to rely on, Baruch Atah, you only have Hashem. So the Chosid looked at the Rebbe in surprise. He said, for that you had to travel? For that you had to go? You didn't know about the Ribbono Shel Olam? I know that. Now I know as much as you. So the Maggid said to his Chosid, you know what the difference between the two of us is? As ir gloipt in the Bashefer, aber ich weiß es da Bashefer. You only believe there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Ich weiß. I know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. We can tell it to our children, but then they have to see that we bring it mikoach el hapoel. We bring it into actualization. That potential has to be there. There is a story brought down in a Mishnah in Shkolim. The Mishnah says that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, people used to bow Korim 13 times. However, the descendants of Reb Gamliel and Reb Chananya always bowed a 14th time. Why? Everyone's doing 13 bowings. Why are you doing 14? Says the Mishnah, and it's based on, the Gemara speaks about it as well, because there was a room near where they stored wood. And these descendants of Reb Galil and Reb Chananya had a Mesorah, a warm heritage from their Zadies and Bubbies, that in that room of the wood was stored none other than the Aron HaKodesh. So with that Mesorah, they bowed a 14th bowing. And all the others who only bowed 13 times, why did they only bow 13? They didn't have that Mesorah. They thought that the Aron was taken and seized to Bavel. The Gemara then says an addendum to this story. One day a Kohen was inspecting the wood room for worms. And he noticed that there seemed to be some worms by the wood. But then he looks and he sees a tile in the floor was a bit out of place. And then he hopped. The tile is discolored and out of place. That must be a secret trap door. And you know what must be there? The Aron HaKodesh of Hashem. So he quickly ran and he started to tell the other Kohanim that the descendants of Reb Gamliel and Reb Chananya were indeed correct. The Aron is not seized to Bavel, but it's in the room. And before he could finish the story, he died. The Gemara ends by saying, they figured out the rest of the story, that indeed the Aron is probably hidden there. And you know what the upshot of the story is? They all still only did 13 bowings. And only the additional bowing was done by the descendants of Reb Gamliel and Reb Chananya. So Rav Bergman, Shlita, the son-in-law of Maron Rav Shach, says, I don't understand now a 14th time. If they now no longer believed it was captive in Bavel, but it was indeed in the room with wood, so why'd they only bow 13 times? Why not the additional bowing? Zuchtra Bergman. Because while they knew it on an intellectual level, and while they may have been intellectually stimulated, they didn't get it through a varma misoira. They didn't get it through warmth. They didn't get it through emotion. They didn't get it through gefil of the bubbies, the zadies, the tatis, and the mommies. And you may know something intellectually. You may even be stimulated, but you won't change. And that's why only the descendants of Reb Gamliel and of Chananya bowed a 14th time. They knew it through warmth and emotion and gefil. If we want to give this lesson to our spouses and our children, They have to see it from us. They have to see the Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa, the Ava, the Yira, the Simcha, the Ish, with warmth, with emotion, with love, care, concern, compassion, sincerity, be genuine. We will affect them. Shalom lo yechsar. But only through the Mesoira, the warmth. That's the only way we'll make an iota of change in our family. Let's end with one story and then a bracha. A few months ago, someone, a mispalel in our shul in North Miami Beach, he says to me on a Friday, Rabbi Shapiro, you have a few minutes, I want to tell you a story. So I said to him, sure. And he tells me the following story. I promised him I wouldn't use his son's real name, so I'll make up a name, Shmuel. I love his son Shmuel. He's just mamish, an angel. The father tells me that the day before Thursday, he comes home, he's a Rebbe in town. He comes home at about 4 p.m, and 7-year-old Shmuel, 8-year-old Shmuel, is standing outside crying softly. So the father says, Shmuel, what's wrong? And Shmuel says, Abba, today I didn't do a mitzvah. So the father says, what do you mean? What happened? So Shmuel says, Abba, today I didn't do kosher. He says, Shmuel, what are you talking about? What happened? He mamish can't help the kid. He doesn't stop crying. He says, well, Abba, for lunch I had a meat sandwich. And then after the meat sandwich, one of his sisters, Shmuel's sisters, came over and gave him a type of ice cream cake. And the sister knew it was milchiks, but didn't know Shmuel had previously had fleishiks. And Shmuel knew he had fleishiks, but didn't know the ice cream cake was milchiks. So he had some ice cream cake. Then he found out that he had milchiks after fleishiks. And he could not be consoled, mamish. So he tells his father, that's why I'm crying. His father says, don't worry. Everybody makes mistakes. It was an honest mistake. Everybody does the Aveira. Don't worry. He's still crying. He says, what's bothering you? And then he happens to say the line that pierces my heart. He says, Abba, maybe Rabbi Shapiro won't call me anymore his little tzaddik. Oh, when I heard that. By the way, ladies, as a side lesson, you want to know the koyach hadibur, the power of speech? Do you think I ever gave a second thought to giving him a little pinch on his cheek and saying, ah, my little tzaddikal Shmuel? I didn't think it meant a thing to him. I never thought he even listened. But it meant so much to him that he was the little tzaddik. But that's the koyach of speech. We can make or break somebody with just two words. But that's for another drasha. He's not going to call me little tzaddik anymore. Don't worry, the father says. He will. He says, but Abba, you know, I have to tell you. Maybe I should stop crying. He says, why? Because after I realized he won't call me little tzaddik and I did an aveira, I tried to do tshuva. He says, what do you mean you try to do tshuva? He says, well, you know, I daven every morning. Yeah. Well, I realized what I did was so bad that I ran into your library, I closed the door, I took out my first sitter, and I davened Shachris again. So maybe Hashem will forgive me. This Shmuel Shachris consisted of Moda Ani, Netilas Yadayim, and Adon Olam. And he said it again. Because in his eyes, the right way to take Hashem seriously, the right way to have Ish, Ahava, Yira, and Simcha, is even on a simple level, daven again. Do we take our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam as seriously as the little tzaddik Shmuel? We must. Because here's the bracha. These days, there's nothing that we need more than Shmira. Hashem should protect us from suicide bombings. Hashem should protect us from anti-Semites. It's a halacha. Esav Sone Yaakov. They hate us. Wherever you are, those nations despise the Jews. They don't want us to exist. And listen to how we can create that Shmira today, Tisha B'Av. Right after Avraham successfully passed the test of Akedas Yitzchak, a Malach comes down and says to him, now I know you, Avraham, are God-fearing. Now I know that you've passed the test. And now I know that Yore Elokim, and you did not withhold your son, Mimeni, from me. Avram did not withhold Yitzchak from who? From Hashem. The angel didn't send him on this shlichus. What, pray tell, does the angel mean? I know you're God-fearing because you didn't withhold your son, mimeni, from me. Who are you? I didn't withhold my son from the Ribono Shel Olam. What does the angel mean? You didn't withhold him, mimeni, from me. Says the Vilna Gaon, the most fundamental, monumental yesod and how to obtain protection in today's society. Every time we do a mitzvah, we create angels on each shoulder. Those angels have the obligation and responsibility to protect us from guns, from storms, from weapons, from tsaros. But depending on the type of mitzvah you do, depending on the seriousness with which you perform the mitzvah, that will dictate the angels that you create. If you do a weak mitzvah, you didn't care and you came in the kata shlishis at 5 p.m, you were not concerned about doing something with zerizus, with enthusiasm, yes, you create angels, but they're small, they're weak. Maybe they could protect from a knife, but not from a gun or a machine gun or anything larger. But in proportion to the mitzvah that you do, and the way you inculcate it into your family, those are the malachim you create on your shoulders. And I don't just mean this, by the way, figuratively. I mean it literally. Angels protect. They will protect you. They will stop something. Be'ezras Hashem. But it's only kifi, mida keneged mida, the proportion of your mitzvah observance. The greater the mitzvah, the stronger the angel. The more serious you are about Yira, the more beautiful the gibor that the angel is. Now I know what the angel says. The angel comes and says to Avram Avinu, Shalom Aleichem, Avram. Do you know who I am? You're an angel. No. I'm not just any angel. I'm the angel you just created. I'm the angel you created through your passing the test of Akedas Yitzchak. Through that mitzvah, you created me. And do you know what I have to tell you? Do you see my size? Do you see how strong I am? Do you see how brilliant I am, says the angel? Ato yadati ki arei Elokim. Now I know you're genuinely God-fearing. Do you know how I know that? Mimeni. I know it from me. Because I look at my size. Were I to be weak, were I not to have any strength, I would know you couldn't be that God-fearing. But now I know, Yarei Elokim, you're God-fearing. And I know that, mimeni. From me, the angel you just created, look how strong I am. Look how vibrant I am and I can protect you. That's the barometer of how sincere your mitzvah was. It should be the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Please remember, I'm not telling this to you merely because we need to improve. I'm telling this to you ladies because Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa. Only you can create the Ava, the Yira, and the Simcha, more than any man, more than any child. Constantly show with emotion and love and dedication and Ibergegebenkeit. Show your children my entire Shmuel, my little tzaddik. The Ribbono Shel Olam can save us. Do mitzvahs. We'll create a shmira. We'll create protection. And in that merit, just like the shalol of Shimon, Lashonim, and Levusham was never diminished, and it got us out of the shackles and tortures of Mitzrayim. By once again creating the Shmira, we need that protection today. Hashem should protect us with our mitzvos. We should create angels that there should never be another drop of spilt blood ever again. And in that merit, we've been standing in the doorway long enough. Please! Open the doors to the Beis Elokim. Let us have the grand prize, the ultimate ballroom, the Beis Elokeinu, the third Beis Hamikdash. Hatzlacha rabba umeruba.